All right, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf ayin. We're in the middle of a very, very interesting, fascinating sugya, and to really understand it properly, we're going to start more or less from the beginning of the sugya. So, just to remind ourselves what we're talking about, the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Tes Omer Aleph told us, Molak v'nimtzis treifa, Remeir oimer eina metame bebeis ablia, Rabbi Yehuda oimer metame. What is this all about? So, Remeir continues on in the Mishnah and in the Gemara to tell us and remind us that Shechita has two purposes. Nowadays, we only think of Shechita as being a matir of meat. In other words, until now, the live animal was Eva Menachai. You couldn't go and just take a bite and start eating. You had to go and shecht it. Because if you didn't shecht it, and the animal died on its own, it becomes a nevela. You're not allowed to eat a nevela. Good. So that's one major reason why you go and shecht an animal. But there's another reason why you shecht an animal, and is to be metayret midei nevela or midei treifa. Midei nevela is not a problem, because if you shechted it, it didn't die. Whether it didn't die because of natural causes or because of some accident or trauma or whatever. You shechted it, you don't have a nevela problem. However, you could have a treifa problem. What's a treifa problem? Whenever you go and shecht an animal today, if you go to a shlachtos, right after the shechit is over, they go and give the carcass of the animal to the bodkim. And the bodkim have to do a bedika to make sure that those places where there's a possibility of the animal being a treifa, exactly what are the simoni treifa, mietshem, we get to Masechta Schulen, we're going to learn in the third parak that there are 18 possible simoni treifa. The most obvious one and the most common one that we have nowadays is what we call a sircha in the lungs. Sircha in the lungs means that you have to go and blow up the entire lungs with such a blowing machine. It makes it almost like a balloon to see whether there are any holes in the lung. And even if there are no holes in the lung, you also have to see whether there are any growths on the lung which compensate for a previous hole. In other words, there was a hole, and if the hole would not have healed on its own, the animal would have died because of a major rupture in its respiratory system. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nes that every time there's a hole, typically there's a growth that compensates and closes up the hole. Depending on how strong and how easy it is to remove that growth, that's what's called a sircha in the lungs. Anyway, that's beyond the four corners of our Gemara. But what the halacha is that if ultimately it's determined that this behema is treifa, I am told by people that are familiar with the kashrus industry that the roiv of animals which are geshochten today in the schlachthäuser, in the slaughterhouses, are in fact treif, and therefore they cannot be eaten by Jews. They go and sell them to the Gentiles. But if in fact you have such an animal which is treifa, then min ha-toira, you don't only have a problem that you cannot eat it, you also have a problem that it's tome. Really? Yes, it's tome. As if it was an nevela, but not because it's an nevela, because it's a treifa. And the treifa is also metame. However, because of the fact that the person shechted the animal and didn't just let the animal die on its own, that shechita is metaheres mitoich treifa. It takes away the tarfis of the animal. And this, based on our Gemara, this is universal. Everybody agrees that when you go and shecht an animal, not only are you matter it to eat, if it turns out that it happens to be a treifa, unfortunately you can't eat it, but is still a benefit from the shechita, and that is it takes away any tumma that would emanate from the fact that this behema is a treifa. This is agreed to by all. What our Mishnah tells us is that a mayor extends this one step further, and he says the same thing applies to the oifos that we were talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what happens if after the malika of the bird, we discover that unfortunately this bird happens to be a treifa. Automatically the carbon is disqualified, and you're going to have to go and bring a brand new oif, either for your chatas oif or for your oilas oif. It's treif, you can't use it. Okay, what happens if nevertheless a koyin were to go and eat from that nevela, from that for that treifa, really? What's the din? Do I say that the malika is moitzi midei treifa, so that although you're not allowed to go and eat it because it wasn't machshav achila, but nevertheless it takes away the tumah that emanates from a treifa? Or do I say no? Because of the fact that Malika was ineffective, not only can you not eat from it, but if you were to go and if you did eat from it, and you had a kazayis going down the base ablia, the person would become tummy. With this, we have a three-way machlokes in our Mishnah between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi. If you want to just take a quick look at the top line on Samach, well, first, the bottom line in Samach Tesamet Aleph, where you had a molak, the Koyin did a malika, and he did a great job. Then in Sestreif, afterwards, we open up the bird, and we discover that there happens to be a problem with the lungs of the bird, with the heart of the bird, with the gizzard, or whatever. There was something where the rabbi said, it's a treifa. And nevertheless, one of the kahanim went with, let's say, a chatas oitz, they didn't realize, and he ate from that treifa, and it went down his beis ablia. Says Reb Meir, einoi metame bebeis ablia. It's not metame. By the way, although Reb Meir is referring to a case of malika, he would say the same thing regarding yashchita. If you shechted these oifois in the base, are you allowed to go and shecht oifois in the base? Of course not. But that's what he did. I'm sorry. If he did it, Reb Meir says, just like with the shechita of a behema, it's moitzi midei tuma. Here too, the malika and even a shechita goes and takes away from the tumah's base ablia. When the person eats it, he does not become tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says, I respectfully disagree. It is metamei. And the malika doesn't help, and the shechita would not help. The even though by behemoth, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir that the shechita takes away from the tumah, even if it's not a matir, because it's not matir ba'achila, because it's a treifa, but nevertheless, the course of the shechita takes away the tumah. But when it comes to oifos, I respectfully disagree, says Rabbi Yehuda. If you see the top Rashi, just first line or two, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm metame. Tuloy mahanya malika litreifa, voadinami to beshechita schulen treifa, halig Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein sheninu, etc. That he holds Rabbi Yehuda, achas malukais, the achas shechutais, it's tumah. L'rameyer shtehen mitarais. So that's a fundamental machlokes between Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda. There's also a third man, the Amar Rabbi Yossi, but the Gemara doesn't deal with Rabbi Yossi in today's Gemara. Okay, how did Reb Meir learn his limud that by a shechita of an oif that turns out to be treifa, that it's not mitame bebeis ablia? Initially, our Mishnah went through a kal v'choymer, and then the Gemara said, you know what, I have a hekish. What was the hekish? There's a pasuk, zois toiras ha-behema v'ha-oif. Behema and oif are the same. In which respect are they the same? That the shechita in both cases is going to be metare them, midei, treifa, that they're not going to have a tumah. That was Reb Meir. The focus of 90% of today's daf is going to be on Reb Yehuda, not on Reb Meir. So now let's skip to Reb Yehuda. Where's Reb Yehuda? Reb Yehuda's just passed halfway down the omud. It's the last two words on the line. Reb Yehuda, my time. Remember, what are we trying to establish according to Reb Yehuda? Why does he hold that if you have an oif and you shechted it, or inside the base of Migdash you did a malika, but let's not constantly talk about both. You shechted this oif and you found that in the oif, unfortunately, it was treif. You certainly cannot eat it. The question is it mitayer midei tuma? Says Reb Meir, yes. And Reb Yehuda says, no. How does Reb Yehuda know that the shechita is not mitahir midei tuma? Reb Yehuda mitayim makro ashkech medarish v'kadarish. He found a pasuk. Now the Gemara is most of the time going to focus on two psukim, and we're going to go back and forth from one pasuk to the other pasuk, which can get somewhat confusing at times. The first pasuk that the Gemara now darshins, in my Gemara it's a gimel, nevela treifa, which probably your Gemara is a three. What does it say? V'chol nefesh asher toichal nevela utreifa. As soon as you see the words asher toichal involving nevela utreifa, you know we're talking about an oif. We're not talking about behema. Because if we're talking about behema, it makes no difference if you ate or if you didn't eat. As soon as you touch the behema, you become tummy. Here, however, when it comes to the din of nevela or treifas or oif, it's only metame bebeis ha-bliya. That's what the pasuk says. V'chol nefesh she'toichal nevela utreifa be'ezrach v'ager The chibes begodav, he has to have, not only does he have to toivel in the mikvah, brochats v'mayim, but even his begodav become tame, and becomes tame out of erev, v'toer, and then he becomes tame.
To state the obvious, a nevela of does not metame.
Nevela so oif is metame, but not b'maga u b'masa, is metame b'beisablia. So if you go, for instance, today, inside the supermarket, and you go to the non-kosher section of meat just to check out the prices and see, and say to yourself, how come the kosher is so much more expensive? And you go and find a piece of beef, and you pick it up, unfortunately you become tummy. Today, of course, the Inyan of Tumah v'Tahara is not like it was in yesteryear, because we don't have Kodshim, unfortunately, we don't have Truma, we don't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Hopefully that will change today, tomorrow, Bikarav Mamish. But good. However, the ma'aser, the person becomes tameh. It's a tumah that you can easily resolve. You go to the mikveh, you wait till night, and everything is fine. That's if you went and took a piece of beef or lamb or whatever else, and you touched it, and you picked it up, and you moved it, you become tameh. What happens if instead you went to the poultry department and you picked up a Purdue chicken? And it says on the Purdue chicken, this is hereby certified by the following 85 rabbinical organizations that it's totally treif and nevela and metu neshesen. You're not allowed to eat. And I pick it up and I hold it and I wave it and I go and make a
move from Molech maybe.
Exactly, Molech maybe, exactly like a lulu. Very good. Or I kiss it, I hug it. You do not become tamei. When do you become tamei? If you were to go and take a bite out of it and let it go down your esophagus, and whether or not you say, ah, or you don't, makes no difference. As soon as it goes down the base of Leah, you become tummy. Okay, so now the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is, if that Purdue chicken was geshachten, okay, that automatically tells you it, probably going to be kosher, right? It's a chicken and I shechted it. But what happens if we opened it up and we found that there was a hole in the lungs or in the stomach or in the heart or a nail in the lungs, whatever the situation was, and the rabbi said, it's treifa. Can't eat it, you have to put it in the non-kosher section. However, by the fact that there was a shechita here, is it also mitame? Do you have to go to the mikveh after if you were to eat it? Not just to touch it, we're talking about an oif. If a person were to eat from that treifas oif, would it be mitame b'beis abli or not? Says Rameir, it is not mitame. Because the shechita that you did, not only did you attempt to be matered b'achila, unfortunately you failed, because of the fact that it was a treifa, but nevertheless, it does give a tikkun to this oif that it is no longer metame bebeis ablia. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is metame bebeis ablia. Rabbi Meir had his pasuk, and now we're going to deal with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda, my time. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree with Rabbi Meir, and he holds that oif is different than a behema, that by an oif, if you do a shechita, it still remains tame bebeis ablia. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda found the following pasuk, nevela treifa. It's really nevela utreifa. What does it say in the pasuk? V'chol nefesh asher toichal nevela utreifa be'ezach v'ager, he becomes tamei. And again, because it says asher toichal, we're referring specifically to a nevela or a treifa by oifles. Rabbi Yehuda, treifa lo menemra. Says Rabbi Yehuda, why do we need the word treifa for? Why wouldn't it be enough simply to go and say, what do I need the utreifa for? And Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a machloikis that runs throughout Shas, in particular in Mesechtes Chulin, whether treifa chay or treifa ena chay. Treifa chay means that although it's a treifa, it can still live for another year, 5 years, 10 years. Just because it's a treifa, that doesn't mean that it's the end of its life. However, there's another view that holds him that treifa ain't a chaya. The ones, the doctors, the veterinarians, the chachum and avoinim, all say that this animal, or this oif, happens to be a treifa, then its time on this world is extremely limited. Whether it's 24 hours, whether it's a week, whatever, that's not our Gemara, but the treifa is not going to live. It's terminal, if you will. Okay. So set now reviewed. Reviewed. Treifa lamanema. What do I need the word treifa for in the pasuk? Why doesn't it just simply say v'chol nefesh asher toichal nevela? Why does it have to talk about the treifa? Talk to you more. Im treifa chaya. If you're going to go and tell me that treifa can live, hari nevela amura. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that since the treifa is going to live, when am I even going to think about eating from this treifa after death? When is that death going to happen? In a day, in a year, in 12 years, in 15 years, in 20 years. Because im treifa chai, that means the treifa can live. Like any other, in this case, any other oif, I don't know what the life expectancy is of oifois, I'm sure you can Google it, but the point is, im treifa chai, this oif has the same life expectancy as any other oifois. So when is it going to produce tumah? Only when it dies. When it dies, it's going to be a nevela. No, what nevela it says in the pasuk. It says, v'chol nefesh treifa nevela. What do I need treifa? Elamai, you're going to go and tell me, treifa ain't a chai, treifa, it's imminent, that it's going to go and die, not now, in 5 minutes, in a day, next week, very, very quickly. No, harihi b'chlan levela. Then it's already in nevela now. And Rashi is mechadesh, and Toisis and others disagree. What do you mean it's in nevela now? That even though the behemah is still alive, however, once they pronounce that this animal, or this, I shouldn't say animal, this bird, is terminal, it's as if it's dead already, dead on arrival, and it's already metame now. It's already metame now. Now you're going to say, you can't eat it anyway because it's alive. Fine. What happens if you grab a shtick, Eva Menachai, and you were to go and eat it now? Is it metame bebeis hablia or not? That's the discussion that Rabbi Yehuda is now going to address. But Rashi says that even though the animal, not the animal, the oif is still alive and kicking and running around and flying and all the rest, it's deemed to be a dead duck, literally, not a duck. It's deemed to be, well, it could be a duck. It's a dead oif.
Dead fowl walking?
Dead fowl walking, very good. What's the din? It's already metame now. Toisa says, I never heard of something like that, that a balchai is metame while it's still alive. Okay, that's a separate shite.
You have to swallow it.
You have to swallow it. It has to go, of course, we're talking about oifis, it has to be besablia, it has to go down. Exactly right. Zoktimar. So now, says Rabbi Yehuda, the word treifa in this pasuk would seem to be totally superfluous, ibarik, unnecessary, because we're talking about nevela. Who needs to talk about treifa? Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'll tell you why it says treifa. Elohavi, to go and tell you the mayor, you are not right. Treifa sheshchata is still metama, even though you shechted it. It is metame, like any nevela, like any treifa, it is tame. So that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, the top line of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, oimer metame, he learns it from the extra word, treifa. So far, so good. The complications begin at this point. Omele Rav Shizvi, elame'ata tichsiv, I have another pasuk, totally unrelated pasuk, which talks about chelev. Which pasuk is that? In my gemara, it's a dalet. Your gemara, it might be a number four. V'chelev nevela v'chelev treifa ye'osa l'chol melacha v'ochol loy seichlu. We know that you're not allowed to go and eat chelev, whether the animal is alive, whether the animal is dead, whether the animal died as a nevela, whether the animal was geshachten. You're not allowed to eat chelev. The pasuk says, ki kol oichol chelev v'nichrisa. You go and get karis. And of course, that's why you have to distinguish between shuman and chelev. Shuman you're allowed to eat. Chelev you're not allowed to eat. What's the difference between the two? Basically, in the location of the animal. But once again, that's not our sugya. The point is that chelev is osur ba'achila. What about the din of chelev of an animal that has already died? And what's the status now of that chelev? The pasuk says, chelev nevela, chelev treifa, ye osa l'chol melacha, v'ocha le'sechlu. You're not allowed to eat from it, but you're allowed to have hanoah. Ye osa l'chol melacha. You can use it for various malachas. What can you go and use chelev for? You can use chelev for to go and smear on the back of an animal or something, to go and relieve it of wounds, and to make it more smooth, whatever.
Candle, make candles.
Candle.
Make candles out of it. Okay, good. So you have Baruch Hashem, Eitzes Titus. That's all regarding the Isra Chila and the Heter Hano. However, Chazal learned from the same Pasuk, not only is there a Heter Hano, but it's also not Mitame. Not Mitame. Well, we just had an animal, was a Kepaygit. Kepaygit means that the animal died. The basar of the animal is full of tumah. If you were to go and touch the animal, here we're not talking about oifis, here we're talking about animals. It doesn't say anything about achila. Also, birds don't have chelev. So you have your animals, the animal died, expired, dead, it's a nevela. If I were to go and touch now the basar of that animal, I become tumah. What about if I touch the chelev of that animal? Pasuk doesn't address it, but Chazal learned from this pasuk of the Yasa Chol Malacha, not only can you have Anah, it's also Tahir. It's also Tahir. So Zek to Gemara, yes. Back to our Gemara. Omelet or Shizmi. We have that a similar pasuk that uses the term Nevela and Trefa. Let's go with the same approach that you, Rabbi Yehuda, used to explain the din of the Trefas. What did we have the word Trefa for in Pasuk Gimel, B'chol Nefesh HaShatoicha Nevelu Trefa, which dealt with the Nevelu or the Trefa of an Oif Tahir? Now let's use that type of analysis now when we're talking about Behemoth. Just like you said, Rabbi Yehuda, the word Trefa is totally Ibrik. Why? Because every single Trefa, either it's Chayer, it's Loi Chayer, but bottom line is nothing happens until it becomes a Nevela. So just let's say Nevela. So the Pasuk came to tell us that even when you have a treifa that was gishachtin, again, when we're talking about oifis, what's the din that it's still metame bebeis habliya? Says he more now. So let's talk about now behemoth, where the Torah uses the expression chelim veilu chelif treifa. Hasam nami neima. Why don't we start off the same way? Im treifa chaya har neveilu amura. If treifa can live, so there's nothing to worry about this animal until it dies. It'll die 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because treifa chayy. Whenever it dies, it becomes an avela. So what do I need the word treifa? Elamayim treifa ain't a chayy. You're going to tell me treifa cannot live, and therefore it's just a question of time. A day or two or a week, whatever, it's going to go and die. Harayi b'chlan avela. It's already an avela now. It's already mitame now. So ibazoi, what do I need to refer to treifa at all? Every single treifa is eventually going to be an avela whenever the issue will arise, it'll become a nevela at that time, and so therefore you have to worry about nevela. And if you're telling me that it's already a nechaya now, so it's already a nevela. So the whole purpose of treifa, the whole word treifa, seems to be out of place or unnecessary. Therefore, let's go and say, says Rav Shizbi to Rav Yehuda, Elohavi treifa, shishchata shechalba, chelva is tohar. Why don't we go and say that just like what is the purpose of this pasuk, the chelav nevela, chelav treifa, that when you have an animal that died, nevela, that although the basar becomes tameh, the chelav remains, the chelav is tahar, not that you're allowed to eat it, but it's tahar, it's not metameh. So say the same thing now, elahavi treifa shishchata shechelva tahar, that if you had a treifa that you shechted, because by nevela, treifa, Rav Shizbi already established, according to Rav Yehuda, when we see the word treifa, that would seem to be unnecessary, because treifa is just the alter ego, if you will, of a nevela. So what do we need a treifa for? Presumably to go and tell you that even if this treifa, you shechted the treifa, and you found that this animal is treifa, you're not allowed to go and eat from it, but maybe that's what the Torah is telling you, the chelav of nevela, of a regular animal that died, or a chelav of treifa of an animal that you shechted and it turned out that it was a treifa. In both cases, it's mutter bahana'a, yi'asa l'chol malacha, and by extension, it's also tohar. It is not mitameh b'maga u'b'masa. Is that what you're telling us? Mechlal dehi mitama. But what you are then saying is, only the chelav the Torah tells us is tohar. What about the basar of this animal that was a treifa that was geshachten? It sounds like it would then be tameh, because that's what the pasuk is mechadish, that the chelev of a treifa sheshachta, that's mutter, that's tahar, is mashma that the basar would be tameh. From Rav Yehuda Maravi, Amri l'masisa tana, v'chi yomis ben abeheima shehi lechem li'ochla, when an animal dies, which is a shehilem li'ochla, meaning it's a kosher animal, and it dies, what's the din? You become tameh. And the Gemara is bothered by, why did it say v'chayomis min ha-behema? It should say v'chayomis behema shehi lechem le'ochla. You have a kosher animal that died, it's metame. What is the min? Mixes behema metame, mixes behema in a metame. Some are metame, and some are not metame. The Ezezu, which are not metame, an animal that died, it is not metame. So treifa sheshchachta, a treifa that was geshachten. And what our Gemara holds is that nobody argues with this. This is Rav Yehuda Marav, and this is a braisa, and there's no machlekes. So therefore everybody is saying now that if you have an animal that was geshachten, and then you discover that it was treifa, what's the din on the animal? That it's kosher. So isn't that shver according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because everybody agrees that Gabi a treifa sheshachta by behema, that it is that it does not have Tuma. So Ibazoi, I just learned this limud by the Chalev, and I say that the Chalev is Tohar. Why is the Chalev Tohar by a Treifa Shenishchata? Because that's why it says the word Treifa in the first place. I don't need the word Treifa. I could have learned it from the Veil. So the Treifa has come to tell you that the Chalev of a Treifa Shenishchata is Tohar. Thank you. So now Ibazoi, Freit the Gemara yet is mashma that the Basar would be Tomei. But that's not true, because I have this from Yudah Marav, and the price of the both say that Behemah Shenishchata, if you've discovered that it's Treifa, nevertheless, it's not Metameh. It's not Shver. Why do they then need a Pasik to tell you that the Chalev is Tahar? The whole animal is Tahar, if you shefted it and you found that it was a Treifa. And therefore, says Yimara, your approach, L'choira Rav Yehuda, in explaining that previous pasuk, that the purpose of that pasuk is to tell you a treifa, that shachta, what's the din by the oifos, that it's metame bebeis hablia, go and use that same same approach by this pasuk of the chalev, and it works out the other way around. So you see, lechoira, that you're wrong, that you cannot go and say v'chalev veila v'chalev treifa, that it's a treifa, and therefore, although the Chalev is mutter, the basar is osir, that's not true. Everybody agrees that the basar is mutter because you shechted it. And therefore, says Rav Shizbi, l'choy Rav Yehuda, your approach in darshaning your pasuk is incorrect, because if you use that same approach and same derech in the second pasuk by the Chalev, you see it doesn't work. El says the Gemara, treifa mi boi leilim uti tmeya. I'm going to tell you why there's the word treifa here by the pasuk of Chalev, by the behema. You're asking, what do you need that pasuk treifa for? I'll tell you. It's coming to tell you, treifa miboyle lamute tmeya. What means lamute tmeya? Now, this can get confusing. Tmeya over here doesn't mean something which is tame. It means an animal which is a non-kosher species. For instance, if a person were to go and shecht a horse, and then you find out that the horse happens to be a treifa, would it make a difference whether it's treifa or not? No, of course not. It's a horse. You can't eat a horse anyway. So therefore, ele treifa miboilim uti tmeya. That what? Mi shiyesh b'mina treifa yotzezu she'ein b'mina treifa. That's why the pasuk says, v'chelen nevela v'chelen treifa yosel chol malacha, that not only is it mutter b'hanah, but also it's tohoir. That's only if you're dealing with a kosher species of animal, such as a cow, such as a lamb of the sheep family, such as a goat, all of those kosher animals. Were they to become gishachtim, and I find that they happen to be a treifa, what's the din by all these animals? We're saying that the chalev would be tohar. But the only reason why the chalev is tohar is because these animals, it's shayich, there's the possibility of this animal being deemed a treifa, and therefore I cannot eat it. But when it comes to a horse, you're not going to care whether it's a treifa or not. You can't eat it because it's a non-kosher species. That being the case, if you have the chalev of a dead horse, it is metameh. Metameh b'magu b'masa, as if it was the basar of that tmeh. And so therefore, that's the reason why it's the chalev treifa. To tell you, when do I say chalev nevela is tohar? Only if it's from a nevela of a behema tohoira, and not of a behema tmeh. So that's what Rav Shizbi is now saying, Rabbi Yehuda, l'choira, what I need the treifa for over there, in the pasuk of the chalev, is to tell you, limute tmeya, the mishiyesh v'mina treifa, when do I say that the chalev of the nevela is tohar? Only if it's from a kosher species, mishiyesh v'mina treifa, that we can talk intelligently about, was the animal a treifa or not. Yotzezu comes to exclude a behema tmeya, such as a horse, she'ein b'mina treifa, there's no such concept of treifa. Then I go and say that it is metame after all. The chalev is metame.
So, and the chalev is metame like the basar of a horse, the chalev of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a treifa, whether it's a nevela, it's metame b'maga b'masa. Just
it has to be dead. And it has to be a nevela.
Chai doesn't make sense of it.
Yeah.
Everything's metame with all.
Yeah, everything is metame.
Pertinent there too.
Exactly. It could be that maybe the horns are not, because it's not really lechila. Right. Or the hooves on the bottom. But the derech klal, everything is metame, both the basar and the chaylev. And that's what the pasuk has. And now I know what I'm using the term treifa for in the chaylev pasuk for. To go and tell you that this then only applies to behemoths, which are ksheirois, which are kosher species and not non-kosher species. So based on that, says Rav Shitvi, let's go back to your pasuk, the pasuk about the oifois. How did Rabbi Yehuda want to learn that pasuk? Come to tell you that if it's a treifa and a bird that was geshachten, and afterwards we find that the bird was a treifa, that it remains tamei al treifa. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was mechadish. Says, well, why do you have to say that? Hachanami, why don't you go and say that the pasuk b'chomesh toichan velu treifa has nothing to do with shechting treifas, but rather it's coming to distinguish between oifois kisheirois and oifois which are not kosher. Kosher species of birds and those which are not kosher. To go and tell you that an oiftami, where the inyan of treifa doesn't apply, if a person has, for instance, a raven, an orave, or he has an ostrich, or he has an owl, any one of the 38 or 40 or 43, whatever, the different species of non-kosher birds, those are all called oifois tameois. There, nobody kills your treifa, nish treifa, because after all, it's not kosher anyway. Ah, so maybe that's what the pasi has come to tell you. One, is there a din of tuma, of eating an oif, which is an avelu or treifa, that is matamba, the base of liya? Maybe that's only by kosher birds and not by non-kosher birds. And by the way, that's the halacha, that a non-kosher bird, we're not talking about a non-kosher chicken, because it wasn't geshachter, we're talking about eating an owl or eating an ostrich or one of the non-kosher, is an ostrich a bird? Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Point is, I'm sorry?
A duchifus.
A duchifus for
atalef.
No, a duchifat is a bird.
Yeah, one of the...
It is a bird, okay. Anyway.
Isn't that one of the... Aya, the daya, whatever it is.
The question is, what's the definition, right?
Whatever it is, the aya, the daya.
Non-kosher bird.
All those wonderful birds.
Yes, pulanon, a bat, for instance, that everybody agrees. Non-kosher bird. So Hachanami says the Gemara, maybe that's the pshat in the pasuk. So why, Rabbi Yehuda, do you ask? Rabbi Yehuda said, Yehuda's question is an excellent question. What do I need v'chelev treifa? Not v'chelev. He goes to the pasuk. V'chol nefesh eshatoichan levela utreifa, you become tamei v'beis sablia. Why do you need the word treifa for? Just v'chol nefesh eshatoichan levela. Says Rav Shidri, I'll tell you why you need that word treifa. To tell you that the only nevelas which are metame v'beis sablia is if it's of a kosher bird, not if it's a non-kosher bird. Just like we use that treifa to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher species. Legabe, the case of the chaylev in pasuk number dalet, so use that same of approach to pasuk number gimel to go and say that the need for the treifa, not to go and tell you that if you shechted a treifa, it remains tamei, but rather to go and tell you that the only din of tumah b'beis sablia is by those species where it's shaych a treifa, which is by the kosher species and not by the non-kosher species.
Is the treifa species tamei?
Treifa species metame.
Birds are animals.
By bird.
Yeah.
It's not metame, not the magu masa, not the base of
nothing.
Nothing. Zero. Good.
You can pick it up and...
You can eat it?
No.
It's
a salav.
We're only talking about tuma. We're not talking about over here. It's rav chilavad, you're not allowed to eat it. Question, if you were to eat from it, do you become tame or not? So, So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, don't you need the treifa for that drasha? And therefore, you cannot use it for your drasha to oppose Reb Meir. Everything, oiftame, Rabbi Yehuda, min avela nafkale. I don't need the word treifa for the oiftame. I can learn it from nevela. What do you mean for nevela? The sign, Rabbi Yehuda, oimer, yochel tehei nevelas oiftame metame begonam beisabli. I would have thought that the nevela of a non-kosher bird, of your bat, of your owl, whichever non-kosher bird that you can think of, I would think that that's matama b'kanim b'beis ablia. And logically, that's certainly the case. Madach, if you have a chicken, which was an avela, and you eat a kazayis, and it goes down the beis ablia, become tame, shouldn't I think that if you ate a kazayis of a dead owl, or a dead ostrich, or bat or one of those, shouldn't I certainly say it was matam going to be sabliyah? I would think so. Tamaloyman, no. Nevela utrefala yoichal. Now this is a brand new pasuk which we didn't bring until now. This is the final pasuk on the bottom of the amud. Nevela utrefala yoichal tamava ani Hashem. There too. Why does it have to go and say nevela utrefala yoichal? We're talking about leyoichal, meaning letomava. Again, we're talking about oifois. We're not talking about behemoths, because only oifis, the tumma, is through eating, through leyoichal. And why do we have to repeat the word over there? What do we need this for, bechlal? We have the other psukim. So I'll tell you, leyoichal mishet surim mishem bal toichal nevela, yotzezeh she'eni surim mishem bal toichal nevela, el mishem bal toichal tomei. That pasuk tells you, when is there letomava, that it's matamba beisablia, only with those types of oifois, with the iser and eating the oif is because it's an avela. You don't even need to come on to trefa, just because it's an avela. Normally you can eat chickens. How come I can't eat this chicken? Because this chicken died on its own, and therefore it's an avela. Why can't I eat this owl? Not because it died on its own. You can't eat it because it's one of the oifois temeois, which are enumerated in Parsha Shmini and Parsha Sra'ei. That's why you can't eat it. Ah, so therefore again, when do I go and say the Gabi Hilchas Tuma Bebeis Abliya Be Oifois? Mishi Yisura Mishim Bal Toichal? Nevela. The problem is, Nevela Lo Yoichal, don't eat it, it's a Nevela. Yotzezeh, meaning an Oifois Temeois, She'en Yisura Mishim Bal Toichal, Nevela Mishim Bal Toichal, Tome. So therefore, Zokta Chiyat Rabbi Huda, I don't need the word Treifa in that Pasuk that we had before. I don't need the word treifa to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher birds, because I have that from this new pasuk that I just brought now. I learned that from the word nevela. So therefore the word treifa is iberic in that earlier pasuk. So I'm going to learn from that treifa that even if you shechted a bird that turned out to be treifa, it's still mitam. Like Rabbi Yehuda said above. The kash of Rabbi Shizbi was, don't I need that treifa to distinguish between kosher species and non-kosher species? Only kosher species have this problem of treifa, not non-kosher species. Says Yimara, what you're saying is correct, but for that, Baruch Hashem, I have another pasuk. I don't need my earlier pasuk to go and teach us that. Freiti Mara, once you're using that approach, Hainami, typically, Mivachelim Nevela, Surah Mishim Bal Toichal Chelim Nevela, Yotzezu Sheini Surah Mishim Bal Toichal Chelim Nevela, El Mishim Tame. What's the Gemara asking? Once I'm using this Derech Halimut to go and say, Nevela, Veloi, non-kosher species, not Tame, Soi Bazoi, in the pasuk that Rav Shizbi quoted, that's the chaylev pasuk, chaylev nevelev, chaylev treifi, yosl chol melacha. So the Gemara was medayik. It's only by those minim where there is treifa that you go and talk about the chaylev being mutter, meaning that it's not metame. It's not metame. Ah, so you wanted to go and say, but that's tough if you're talking about chaylev of a treifa, meaning of an animal, which shayach to talk about tarfis. But if you're talking about l'mushal, a horse, that tarfis doesn't make any sense, then we said it is metame. The chaylev is metame. Freit Gemara, I don't need that pasuk for that. I have now a new pasuk. You don't have to learn it from the word treifa. Hainami typically mi b'chaylev nevela. Rabbi said, those of you that have just joined us, we're in the top of Ayin Amid Aleph, the top line. So Freit Gemara, hainami typically, why don't I go and learn the same drasha that we learned Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, the way he just entered, that we don't need the word treifa to go and tell us that about tumas beis abliya. I can learn it from the word nevela. Is hainami typically mechelav nevela mishe yisura mishum bal toichel nevela. Notice that the pasuk says mechelav nevela mechelav treifa yosel chamlacha the achol loy seichluhu, don't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because it's a nevela or a treifa. That's why you can't go and eat it. Ah, says the pasuk, but nevertheless, it's tohar. So why don't we go and say, Mishi Yisur, Mishum Bal Toichon Chelev Nevela, Yotzezu, it comes to exclude a tomei or a tomeya, a non-kosher species, She'ein Yisur, Mishum Bal Toichon Chelev Nevela. The problem of the Ochalei Sechlu is not because it's Chelev Nevela, El Mishum Tomei. And that being the case, I don't need the word treifa. Hai treifa, me boy, what do I need it for? In other words, just like we asked on Rabbi Yehuda, now the Gemara is asking on the Chelev Pasuk. Behuda established, I don't need treifa in the Chelev Pasuk, because I can go and learn it from the word nevela, says the Gemara, and according to everybody else, what do I need the word treifa for? learn the same drasha here by chaylev and go and say, when is chaylev not mitame, only the type of chaylev where the isser is about eating chaylev. Masha'enkin, if you're talking about a non-kosher animal, the reason why you can't eat the chaylev is because it's part of a horse, not because it happens to be a treifah. The reason for the word treifah in the pasuk is to go and be marba a chaya. Now what means a chaya? Chaya means a wild beast, not what we are accustomed to, mushel venison or deer. There are, as you know, certain types of wild animals that we just don't commonly eat because that's not the nimtza. But if you go to a fancy schmancy restaurant, if you're willing to pay $200 for the main course, you can go and get venison and or deer or whatever those species are. So what about that chaya? What about chaylev of that chaya? If you have such a chaya, that unfortunately died. Now it's nevela, and now it left over, both basar and chaylev. If it would be a behema, we know that the basar would be tamei, and because of this pasuk, chaylev nevela, chaylev treifa, the chaylev, although you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not mitame. Really, it's not mitame. That's right. That's what the pasuk of kol nevela chaylev. What's the pasuk? V'chaylev nevela, v'chaylev treifa, yasmu l'chol malach, v'ochol leischol. You're not allowed to eat it, and you're allowed to have ano yasmu l'chol malach, and it's not mitame. So what's the story now about a deer that I know it's a kosher beast and it died? What's the story with it? Obviously, it can't go and eat the basar, and the basar is mitame. Is the chaylev also mitame? Oh, maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude. Ela mishum tamei ala hay treifa miboy liyisu yechaya. It's coming to include a chaya, that the chaya that its chaylev is mitame. Where do you talk about the chaylev not being metame when you're talking about a behema? Because by behema, chaylev is osur to eat, even though the basar is mutter to eat. Yotzezu comes to exclude deer or other wild beasts, chayas, shechelbu basar mutter. Did you know that you're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya? And the answer is not everybody around the table, at least certain of our members know, that the chaylev of a chaya that was geshochten properly, just like you're allowed to eat the basar, you're allowed to eat the chaylev. Ah, so chaylev and basar of a chaya are the same if they are kosher, meaning if there was a shechita. What happens if there was no shechita? So what should be the din? Since this is totally different from your regular behemoths, because your regular behemoth, when it's alive, you can only eat the basar, you cannot eat the chaylev. When the behemoth is dead, it's only the basar that is metame, the chaylev is not metame. What's the status of this chaya? Since I'm equating the chaylev and the basar, perhaps therefore that this chaya, after the chaya died, I should go and say that just like the basar is metame, the chaylev is also metame. Why would the chaylev be metame? Because the chelba and besara are on the same level. That when the behema was geshochten properly, they're both kosher. So now when the chaya died, so maybe I should say that both are metame. Kamash malon, that's what I need, the pasuk of treifa, to go and tell you that after all, chaya is within those species where there's a possibility of a treifa. A non-kosher animal, of course, talking about treifa is just ridiculous. You're just talking nonsense. But if you're talking about a chaya, there the din of treifa does apply. That's why the Torah adds the extra word treifa to go and tell you that by the chaya, not only is only the basar is metame and not the chaylev. In other words, it has the same status as like a regular behema, where the basar of an avela is metame, the chaylev is not metame. Same thing chaya. Why would I have thought differently? Because chelba and basara are
both.
So therefore they're equated, they're on the same level. So maybe the same thing, that they should both be on the same level, they should both be metame
al-snevela.
That's why the pasuk adds the word treifa to go and say, this is among the minim where treifas is shayich, not like a behemoth tamea, non-kosher species. By chay, there's also the possibility of tarfus. So therefore the Torah is coming to tell you, the chaylev nevela is talking about an animal, a behema. Chaylev treifa, the chaylev of a chaya that could become a treifa. Yehosel lechom malacha, that not only is a mutter bana, it is also tohoyer, and it's not netame. Kamashmala. So that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you.
din of a behema shneya, behema arachah. Let's say, so it's tame. It's nevela.
When you say behema tame, are you talking about a kosher animal that became nevela? A horse. Good. So what's the story of the horse?
So there, it's the bus is matame.
If it, the horse is dead, the bus is matame, and the chel is matame.
Uh-huh.
Both of them matame. Okay. Why? I, the pasuk said the chel nevela, chel trefa. It is mutter. It's only talking about where the iser is based on ochel le'sechlu because it's an iser nevela. Mashenk in the case of the horse, it's also because it's an iser tame. It's a tame dik.
So where does chel have? Where's the distinction in chel?
Are you talking about behemoth tamei, or are you talking about a chai, or are you talking about both?
Both.
Both, okay. So let's go and let's do one at a time. I got the behemoth tamei, you have a horse, and the horse is dead, not only the basar is matame, but the chaylev is also matame. Not like chaylev of a kosher animal, the chaylev is not matame. Chaylev, if even though it's chanavela, the meat is matame, but that's what the pasuk tells you, the chaylev vela, that it's tohar.
They're touching one another, so they can aren't they matame one another?
That's a good question, but again, beyond the four corners of Agamar. Okay. The chaylev is not matame by a behemoth.
Right,
by a horse, it is matame, as well as by a chaya, I might have thought that it should also be matame. Chamash malon, that it's not. How do I know it's not? That's why I have the extra word treifa. Why do I have the treifa? Chaduch shen and the vela. To tell you that there are minim of kosher species, which ones? The kosher deer, venison, whatever, chayis, which are kosher, the tzvi, v'hayachmor, and all those which are enumerated in the Torah. So all of those kosher species, I might have thought that just since they are equated with the basar, that when it's the animal is geshachtin, you're allowed to eat both. So when the animal dies, both of them should go and be metame, kamash malon. No, only the basar is metame and not the chaylev. And therefore the chaylev of a chaya has the same status like the chaylev of a regular behemah. Zoktimar, omalei, maishna, and now we're going to explore a little bit further. Omalei maishna tameya, de ein chelba cholik mibsara, chayanami ein chelba cholik mibsara. So Gemara is saying, I'm not so happy about this drasha. Why do we say by Tameya, Ein chel b'cholik mipsara? After all, Tameya, the chelev and the basar are the same. And now when the animal died, if you have a dead horse, you're saying that both of them are metame. Chayinami ein chel b'cholik mipsara. Since we already established before that when the chaya is geshochten properly, that the chelev and the basar are the same, so it should be just like by the Tameya. Just like by the Tameya, both are metame. The horse meat and the horse chaylev are both metame. So you should go and say, legabi and avela v'chaya, that both of them should be metame. Why are you distinguishing between one and the other? V'oid, haksiv, v'ochel le'sechlu. Doesn't it say in the pasuk, ochel le'sechlu, that tells you that the iser only applies if you're talking out nevela utreva, and not if it's related to chaya or Tameya. Therefore, elamar abai. Treifa legufe itzrich. You know why I need the word treifa in the pasuk to go and tell you for itself, not to go and be marba or to be mamayit, to go and exclude chaya and I'm sorry to include chaya and exclude behema and exclude non-kosher species as tameya behemet meya. Thank you, but rather I need a legufe. What means legufe? Again, we're now talking about the chaylev of a treifa. It's shloi toimer choyl utmeya asur michayim utreifa asur michayim. We know that a behema tameya is osur michayim. Osur doesn't mean over here that it causes tumah, but you're not allowed to eat it because it's a tameya. But even beyond Eber Menachai, because it's horse, you're not allowed to eat Eber Menachai from a behema to hoira. Here we're talking about the difference between a tameya, a non-kosher species. So treifa itzrich, the guf itzrich. So you're talking about tameya osur michayim. You're not allowed to eat a horse, even when it's still alive. You're not allowed to eat it because it's a non-kosher species. Where would be the nafkimina? We got the eva menachai. So Rashi says you're only over eva menachai if you eat from an eva that has basar, gidin, and atzamis. It's a full eva, a full limb. What happens if you just go and cut off a small little piece, which doesn't involve taking from an eva? It could be that would not be called eva menachai, but it would still be or also because it's a shtick horse. You're going to start asking our questions about eva menachai by behemis. Our Gemara doesn't go into that. Yeah, the point of all this is, the Gemara is saying a total sugya, different place. But hoyl utmeya asur michaim, a horse is asur when it's still alive, out horse meat. Utreif asur michaim, and a treif is also asur michaim. In other words, it'll never become mutter because Nebuchadnezzar treifa. So it's already also from the time that the rabbis or the scientists decide that this is already a treifa. Most treifas you can only tell when you open it up, but there's some treifas you can tell already from before. For instance, if you see that has a hole in the head, and the therefore literally a hole in the head, not a figurative or poetic hole in the head. You see a hole in the head, and the rabbis have decided this animal is a goner. So from that point on, it's already asur mechayim. And so therefore, ma tmeyachel batamei, just like by a tmeya the chelav is tamei, and it doesn't become tahor af treifa chel batamei. So I should say the same thing applies to the treifa, that its chelav is also tamei. Not like we just said from the pasuk that a treifa is tahor. I should go and say that the chelav treifa is tamei. That's the kasha that is being posed now. Why, says Abaya, are we distinguishing between one and the other? That's why the treif of the Gufa Yitzchak, that the treif is coming to tell us this halacha. Shulei Toimer, hoyu tamei asur mechayim, treif asur mechayim, that tamei chel botamei af treif, chel betamei kamash malan. That's why the word treif comes to tell us that there's a major difference between the chelev of a treif and the chelev of a tamei. Veit mori hochi, hainami beboyesh loi toimer, so now we're going to again use that same word treifa, which until now we've been focusing on the pasuk of the kol chelav, the chelav, the veil, the chelav, treifa, yosel, mecham, lacha, and we're saying that the treifa is being used now to distinguish between the non-kosher species where there is no treifa and the kosher species of chaya, where there is the shayach a treifa. So I need treifa the kufi to tell us that did. Let's now use it for the other. Again, now we're reverting to the pasuk that's talking about the tuma of beisabliya by oifois. So hainami boyesh le toimar. Why don't we say that I need the treif over there? Not like Rabbi Hud is learning from that treifa to tell you that an oif that was a treifa that was geshochted is metame bebei sablia. That's Rabbi Hud Shita, as opposed to Reb Meir. Maybe haname boyelish le toimer. Hoyuvi oif tamei osu bachila. An oif tamei, you're not allowed to eat an owl, a bat, all of those non-kosher, that would be a foul act to eat from them.
Except for those who don't give a hoot.
Oh boy. And you're now allowed to eat a treifa. I would say, ma oif tamei einem metame. Just like an oif tamei, it's einem metame, like we said before. If you were to go and eat, if you eat a Purdue chicken, which was a nevela, it's metame bebesablia. But if you go and eat from an owl or from any one of those other non kosher birds, it's not metame bebesablia. Ah, so then say, av treifa. Ainam metame. Say the same thing would apply to a bird that is a treifa. It's also not metame bebesabli. And therefore, the Gemara is asking Akasha on Reb Yehuda. Use the term treifa from the fact that it says nevelu treifa. Learn one from the other. That just like oif tame ainam metame, af treifa ainam metame. So use it for that drasha, not to go and tell you that if it's kishoch gesundtai, the treifa is metame, but rather to go and tell you that the treifa has the same din like the oif tame, that it's not metame. Vo'oid. This whole vort of Abaya, that Abaya says, treifa legufa yitzchak, shulei toime, don't think that I'm going to go and learn treifa from Tameya. Why would I ever think in my wildest dreams to learn treifa from Tameya? Tameya le hoysa l'shasa kosher. When the horse was born from the first moment, it was already a horse, and you're not allowed to go and eat from it. Treifa hoysa l'shasa kosher. The treifa until it became a treifa, until it got that hole in the head, or the hole in the lung, or the hole in the heart, or whatever. It had a shasa kosher. So how can you go and be medama, learn one from the other? But he tell me, maybe you're going to go and tell me, treifa mi beten, ma ikala meimar. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, a treifa mi beten. Treifa mi beten means that it was born a treifa.
From the womb.
From the womb, yes, exactly. So as soon as the horse, not the horse, as soon as the kosher animal was born, I look at it, or if we're talking about oifis, as soon as the kosher oif was born, I see automatically, unfortunately, already has a hole in the head or whatever, and really when it's born, the nurses or whoever's in charge of things of this nature says, I'm sorry, this is a treif, it's not going to live, it's terminal, you know, get ready for the chevra kadisha the next day or two, or whatever, whoever takes care of the animals and the chayas and the birds and stuff like that. So Zofli Yomara, so even you're going to tell me, the treif of mi betan, my ikil meimer, there I lechoyra could learn like Abaye said, just like the Tmei Asur Michayim, the Treifa is also Asur Michayim. Ma Tmei Chel Batomei Av Trei Mechel Batomei. So you told me, yeah, how can you learn one from the other? This is Mi Betan, and that's not Mi Betan. No, you can have a Treifa Mi Betan too. It was born with such a heart irregularity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But still you cannot go and learn Treifa from Tmeya, because B'mina Mia Iker, in the min of Treifois, some of them, Taki, you're right, is Treifa Mi Betan, but the vast majority are only later in life that it becomes a trefa through some sort of trauma or disease, but not when it's born that way. So once again, since there's a fundamental difference between a trefa and tamea, how would even ever have a minna learning one from the other? So Abaye was the one that said, the reason why I need the word trefa is to tell you the difference between the tamea and the Chaya. No, that's not true. There's no reason why I would have been medama them in the first place, because they're fundamentally different. Elamar Rava. Therefore, Rava says, I have a new pshat. Ha Toira Omra Yovi Issa Nevela V'Yochel Al Isser Chelev. Yovi Issa Treva V'Yochel Isser Chelev. What Rava is saying is, I will tell you the reason why, in the case of the Chelev Nevela, the Chelev Treva, why do I need the extra word Treva? After all, the Gemara said, Rav Shizvi asked at the outset, every single Treva, whether it's Chaya or Ena Chaya, what's going to happen is eventually it's going to have Hilchos Nevela. Either when it actually dies, or when we establish now that it's already a dead duck, it's already dead now. So Ibazai, it's nevela. What do I need the word trefa for? So Abaye tried to go and say, I need trefa to go and tell you the difference between the chayois and between the tmeois. Now the Gemara says, Amurava hatreira umra yavi isa nevela v'yachal iser chelev. The trade over here is mechadish. Normally we say that ein iser chal al iser. Here the Torah tells you that Chelev Nevela v'Chelev Treifa, guess what? That the Isser of Nevela is Chal on the Chelev. The Isser of Treifa is Chal on the Chelev. As soon as the animal is born, implanted in it, Rabbi Nishlam created Chelev. That Chelev was Osir immediately at the time of birth. When did this animal become a Nevela? When the animal died. When it became a Treifa? When they found that it has some sort of problem. Azoi Bazoi, the Torah is machadish yovi iser nevela v'yochel iser chelev, that even though there's a pre-existing iser, iser chal al iser, and the same thing is not only yovi iser nevela v'yovi iser treifa v'yochel al iser chelev. The iser of treifa is also chal. That's the reason why I need the treifa in the pasuk v'chelev nevela v'chelev treifa. So to my tzrich, if you're going to tell me, what do I need both for? The ashmin in nevela mishum to metamya. The reason is because a nevela, remember, here we're focusing on not the tumah at the moment, we're talking about the isser of eating. Mm-hmm. And he's saying the isser of eating chaylev nevela, chaylev treifa, even though it was pre-existing chaylev, mm-hmm. Now it's become a nevela, now become a treifa, nevertheless, ochel le'sechlu, you're now let to eat it because of the new isser, isser chal al isser. You know why the isser of nevela can be chal, because nevela is metame, so that's makes it a heavy duty type of isur. That's why it's chal on the chel. Avo treifa emolai. The ashmin a treifa mishum di isur mechaim. A treifa can already be osur mechaim as soon as they discover that it's a treifa. Already now I know to an ishasin it's osur. Don't even bother thinking of shechting it. It's already osur. Avo nevela emolai, because nevela is only after misa. Tzricha. That's why you have to have the pasuk to go and tell you the chel nevela chel of treifa, that in all cases the isur of eating chelim is the iser of eating nevela, or the iser of eating treifa, is chal on the pre-existing iser of the chel. Great tomorrow. So with this, we have basically have concluded the back and forth regarding Rabbi Yehuda's need for these two separate psukim. But now we get off for a moment. What does Rabbi Meir hold? For those of you that are upset that we're finished with Rabbi Yehuda, don't be annoyed. This we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda again another 5-6 lines. But for Meir, hi trey for my other play, meaning since we heard from Rabbi Yehuda that he learns from the word treifa to go and tell you that if you shechted a treifa oif, it is metame bebeis abliya. Reb Meir, who says absolutely not, because he had his own drasha, zois teres behema va'oif, that oif is just like behema, that once you go and check it, it's moitzi midei treifasa. So what does Reb Meir do with the word treifa that we just found now by the pasuk Not by that pasuk, by the pasuk which is talking about the oif voice and oif that became a nevelu treifa. But may high treifa my overlay. Me boilei lamutei shchita shehilifnim. It comes to the mayit shchita that took place inside the Beis Hamikdash. Inside the Beis Hamikdash, you know, you're supposed to do malika. You're not supposed to do shchita. Mm-hmm. If you did do shchita, you messed up badly. Mm-hmm. And it comes to the mayit that din of shchita shehilifnim. Now, what is the din of the shchita shehilifnim? Does that mean that it's metame beis abliya or not metame beis abliya? So we already had in our Mishnah that it said ze akol kol shuva psula bekoidish, and we said that it's, if it was the Mishnah on samaches on the base, ze akol kol shuva psula bekoidish ain't a metame beis abliya. It's not metame. They want to ask what the ze akol come lasuya mai lasuya shchitas kodshim bifnim. That if you shecht the kodshim b'fnim, those are also not mitame b'beis habliya. So Zokti Mora, that's what Ramey used the term treifa for, to tell you that it's not mitame b'beis habliya. Even though it was geshocht and l'fnim, you have two strikes against you. There was not malika, and it was not b'chutz, it was l'fnim. Nevertheless, it's not mitame. Rabbi Yehuda, treifa achriniksiv. For that I have another treifa. What means I have another treifa? Remember, we had that new pasuk on the end of Samach Tesamit days, that was Oizvov, Nevela Treifa La Yoichel Tomaba, and Yashem. What do you have that extra word Treifa? To go and tell you, Lagavi, the Shechita Lifnim. Vremeir, Chalamuti Shechita Shi Lifnim, Chalamuti Oif Tomei. I have to have two psukim, the two Treifois, one to tell you, Lagavi, Shechita Lifnim, and one to tell you, Lagavi, the Kenneth of an Oif Tomei, like an owl, whether or not it gives a hoot. The Oif Tomei, Lagavi, the din of Tuma, the Bey Sablia. Rabbi Yehuda, Menevela Nafkele. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't need treifa for that. I only need the word Nevela. Why only the word Nevela? Because only by kosher species is there a discussion about Nevela. Once you talk about Oif Tami, it's also anyway a Filuna Nevela. Rameya, Hai Nevela, my Ovidla. So what does Rameya do with the extra word Nevela? Lishir Achila Pikizayas. Ooh, something new. That when are you going to be over on the Isser of eating a Nevela Su Oif? The base habliya, the afka, when you're eating at least a shear of a kezayis. Right, more of a typically mikra kama. I have two psukim that talk about nevela. One pasuk is v'chol nefesh toichal nevela utreifa, and then I have the other pasuk at the end of samach tes nevela utreifa lo yoichal. So both are talking about achila. Both of them use the term nevela. What do I need both of them for? So I know already the din of kezayis. Every more chalishir kezayis, achila b'kezayis, v'chalishir achila b'chtei achilas pras. Ooh. When is an nevela so'oif metame, only if you eat a shir kezayis, bebeis habliya, and also has to be eaten within the shir of achilas pras. So kedai d'chamen oil v'chilishu, I would think that the whole inyan of eating birds and only causing tumma b'beis habliya is a tremendous chiddush, because every other behemen chaya, when it dies, you touch it, it becomes a dead sheret, a dead behema, a dead chaya. Just it's metame b'maga. Mm-hmm. Here, by the talking about by oifos, only metame b'beis habliya is a chiddush about the. So I might think yes, mendech chiddush pras nami the tame. Even if you ate a kezayis over a lengthy period of time, not only during that short 3, 4, 5, 6 minute period, but even if you eat it over half an hour, kamashalan, that's why you have to have the both nevelis to go and tell you the din of shir achila b'kenayis and the shir of achila b'chtei achilas.
Isn't all achila b'kenayis? Isn't all achila b'chtei achilas pras?
100%.
So why do we suddenly need psukim to reinforce achila here?
Beautiful question. The answer is, of course, what the Gemara called the chiddush. What do you mean a chiddush? Because every other achila that you're talking about is something that you're not allowed to eat. It's an iser achila. You're ising, eating nevelos. You're eating treifos.
Yes.
You're eating horse meat. You're eating shrotzim. You're eating non-kosher species of oifos. All of those things are bekezayis. You're absolutely right. However, here we're not talking about eating for purposes of being over the isra achila, gesundheit. We're determining whether the person becomes tameh. Where else do you find in the Torah that you eat something and you become tameh? Mm-hmm. It's the only time. Where?
Gabe
he's oifus. So now you're thinking to yourself, so what's the shir? Maybe since the the din of
Kibaya, like Kibaya, because it's
or maybe Kibaya, or maybe it's even a mashu. Whitefish, I don't know.
Does that apply to Turkey?
Was it Jim?
Does it apply to Turkey?
Is Turkey a kosher?
That's a machlokes, right?
Well,
we have a Masorah.
We have Rabbi Cohen. Where are you, Oliver Shalom?
Okay. Most people do eat turkey, as you know, but there is a select group, a minority, that a minority opinion, and those are very choshev people, and they don't. Okay. It's not the first time that there's a machlokes in Kaifa.
Well, you could just swallow it and not eat it.
You could swallow without eating it?
It goes with the base. It
runs the base.
Swallowing, you don't have to chew it.
Remember, you're talking about basically all for purposes of tumah purposes.
Not for purposes, or
it's rechila for that matter.
I forgot Jewish.
It's okay, no problem. You forgot you're Jewish. Chas v'shalom.
Jewish.
Okay.
Jewish.
Okay, thank you. We got to chew on that thought. Zoktimor v'aydetan rabbanon. Let's go with that. For those who thought that we're done, we still have some more drushes and
to chew on.
To chew on. Oh, tan rabbanon, very good. V'chein l'beil v'chelev treifa. V'chelev behima tohoira kosa medaber. Again, we're going back to the same pasuk which was quoted now already 20 times. V'chelev nevela, v'chelev treif, yosachon melacha, v'ochel leisachlu. You're not allowed to eat the chelev of nevela or treifa. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to have heter hadno'ah. And Chazal tell us, gesundheit, this pasuk is also telling you that it's tohoyer. Although the basar of nevela or treifa is tamei, the chelev is tohoyer. So, Timar. We're talking about a kosher animal like a cow or like a goat, like a sheep. Mm-hmm. Maybe the pasuk is telling you that a bechelav or behemah tmeya. Why? Because the pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat it. It's a non-kosher species. It's like a horse. And maybe that's what the Torah is telling you, that the chelav of nevela of a dead horse, that it's mutter, Bahano, and that it's tohar milatame. Maybe that's the kavonis apostle. We, of course, know that that's not the case. However, that's the havamina in this brisa. And the brisa now, in fact, tries to be as equal Stephen as possible, to be not to discriminate. And therefore, it does both drushes, both to go and tell you that the apostle is done by behemoths tohoirois. Or maybe it's coming to tell you about behemoth tomatoes. Again, the difference between behemoth toy and behemoth tomato is a kosher species and a non-kosher species.
Eating a dead horse.
Eating a dead horse. Good.
Beating a dead horse.
Good. So to my Ambris. So let's go on the one side that we're talking about, the chelav of behemoth toy. Tier mechlal shkuta, the tier mechlal chelav. Tier mechlal shkuta means that the toyra was matir, this animal, for eating if you shechted it. If you didn't shecht it, you're not allowed to. But if you shechted it, you are allowed to. Obviously, we're only talking about behemois kashay rice, behemois tahoy rice, which you're allowed to go and eat. And v'tir mechlal chelav. And I see that this basic, the one that we've been quoting all along, that it is not only mutter bahanoah, but it's also tahoy. And therefore, says the Gemara, just like over here, tir mechal shchuta makish, tir mechal shchuta b'tahira v'loy b'tmei. That's only referring to kosher animals and not non-kosher animals. Afkish tir mechal chaylev. When the Torah is giving you another heter, the heter of heter, not only a heter hanoh, but also that it's mitayir, it's tar, it's not tamei. That's also only talking about
kosher
tahira v'loy b'tmei, only by kosher animals. So that's the way, in fact, we learn it. Oy says the brayso meimidant. Oy kalach lederechzu. Maybe it's punk fakert. Just the opposite. Tiher mechlal nevela, the tier mechlal chelav. The Torah says that certain animals or certain birds are tar mechlal nevela, and therefore maybe that's what the pasuk means, metar mechlal chelav. So what does that mean? Makish a tiher mechlal nevela, betmeya v'loy betahoira. Just like with the Torah was metar mechlal nevela only by non kosher species and not by kosher species. Now before you continue on, what? The Torah says, there's a tahara mechlal nevela by non-kosher species.
Ophos.
Oh, so that's the answer. But the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that we're talking about behema, and you'll see on the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to make a shrach chai v'kayim. How do you even say such words?
Right.
That you can have a nevela of a non-kosher animal and you say it's tar. There's no such thing. The Gemara is going to answer like you just answered, that we're talking about oifais. That by an oif tame, that a person ate an owl, oy vey, owl, He ate the owl.
Guess what? It was a wise thing to do.
It's a very wise thing to do. It's wise in the sense that it's not metame bebeis habliya.
Malchus, yes, but not metame.
He gets Malchus for the achila. You don't get. But a person is tohar. It's a tremendous chiddush, but that's the din. That you only have the din of tuma bebeis habliya by an oif tohar and not by an oif tame. Ah, so therefore says Imar, mashkitiyam bichlal nevela, etmei v'loi betohira. Ah, so we see that there is a leniency that applies to tamei that doesn't apply to tohira. So maybe too, when this pasuk is talking about the chelin nevela, chelin treifa, that it is tohar, it's not mitame, maybe afkishitiyas bichlal chelin v'betmei v'loi betohira. Maybe that's what we're talking about, a tamei and not a tohira. Azoi zog the braisa. Zog Imar Amris, so now the braisa is answering its own question, and it says, if you use the first line of analysis, where we said that just like when it comes to a tohar, the tohar mechlal shchuta, the tir mechlal chaylev, that we're talking about a behema ksheira, behema tohira, that's if you use the first approach. But if you use the klach l'derech zu, then it's going to be the other way around. So how do I know, bottom line, what the pasuk is referring to when it says that the chelev is tohar from being metamen? That's the reason why I need the chelev, nevela v'chelev, treifa. That's what's been bothering us all along for the last hour. What do I need that treifa for? To go and tell you that there's only a din of tumma by the chelev. When do I say that the chelev, nevela v'chelev, treifa are tohar militame? The chelev is tohar. Talking about dafka mishmin mina treifa,
kosher animals.
A kosher animal, it's the tamei. A non-kosher animal, she'im mina treifa. There's no such concept of treifa.
No category of treifa.
Period. So with that, that's the end of the first part of the braisa. Now the Gemara continues on, or the braisa continues on. Now once I've made that type of limud, why don't they go and say v'le oitzia sachaya she'yesh b'mina treifa? Maybe I should not exclude the chaya because a chaya does have a min treifa. We know that a chaya, since it's a kosher beast, talking about, of course, a chaya tohira, so then when you go and check it, you have to go and do a bedik to see whether it's treifa or not. So, it yesh ben mina treifa. So now, what should be the status of that chaya? I should go and say that the chaylev of that chaya should go and be metame, just like the chaylev, forget it, the chaylev of a nevela and a chaylev of a treifa we're saying is not metame, so even though the basar is matami, but not the chaylev. So what's it done by the chaya? The chaya, I should go and say, it should have the same status, just like the behema, that the chaylev should be matami.
No.
I'm sorry, it should not be matami. Just like the behema, it's not matami. I should say by the chaya, it's also not matami. Sorry, you want to say something? You have to
good.
That's talking dafke, the type of
kosher
thing.
Animal. A kosher animal of any kind, chay or behema.
Oh, thank you. A kosher animal that was gishachten, where the chelev is osir, but the basar is mutter. Yatzachay, shechelba ubesara are both mutter. That if you go and shech the chaya, both the chelev and the basar is mutter, like we said earlier on the Omer Aleph. So that's why you cannot go and compare one with the other. Omer Rav Yanka Barava, Lerava, El Meyata, Nevelas Behema Tehoira, Hu demetama nevelas behema tameya loy metama. Let's go back to that brisa. The brisa said on the second derech, a kalach lederech zu, back on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, that what? That we could have a situation where tir mechlal nevela, v'tir mechlal chelev. Mash ketir mechlal nevela is betameya. An animal which is a non-kosher species, the Torah says, nevela is fine. Torah is metaher, but the Torah, no. So does that make sense? You're saying that a dead horse, you're saying the nevela is tohar. But a dead cow, you're saying that the nevela is metame. So that's what we asked in the Yom Adal. For what was your teretz? Because we're not talking about the heinous. But the Gemara didn't know that initially. So the Gemara asks, only in the nevela of a kosher animal, that's metame. But if you have a nevela of a dead horse, is that what you're saying? That's what the Brisa seems to be saying. So Rava said to Rav Yaakov Bar Abba, you should know you're not the first one that was bothered by that question. Kamasabi shebishtu ba. Already many of the elders of Canaan in the Besmedrash that have been learning now for 50 years, they were also bothered by this question. And therefore, what was the answer? Sefason, the Nevelas Oif Tomei. Ah, the Nevela Oif Tomei. Were you to eat a dead owl? You're not allowed to eat. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to eat it. However, if you were to eat it and you swallowed it down the base of Bliya, it's not mitame. That's what he meant in the Yomid Aleph, that you have nevelos of certain species. We're not talking about behemoths or chayes, we're talking about oifos. Ah, there is a preference, if you will, to the oif tame that's not mitame base of Bliya, but a kosher bird, which is a nevelo or a trefa, it is mitame the base of Bliya. We could theoretically stop here, or if everybody is still in the mood, we can try to finish.
I'm definitely in the mood. Go ahead, let's go.
Let's knock it off, as we say.
Knock it off.
No, you're on a roll. Go ahead. It's not a chore.
If you were. At least for some people. Okay. We're going back now. From here to the rest, until the end of the parak, is relatively straightforward. We don't have to dash and psukim now, keep on going back from chel and vela, and the soichel kol nevela, and treifu, and treifu, and treifu. It's simpler. What happens if you go and shecht an oif, a tor dik oif, a regular good chicken? And what happens when you shecht it, you open it up, and you find in it that it was nebuch a treifa? Obviously, if it's a treifa, you can't eat it. The question is, were you to now go and swallow a kazayis from it, is a mitame bebeis habliya or not?
Is it shechita matayer from its tumiv?
That's what the Meir tells us. That's the chiddush of the Meir. Everybody
eats like the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah.
It's the Mishnah. Exactly.
Most of it is your Meir Omer any mitame bebeis habliya.
Perfect.
And certainly you got al shechita. And certainly al shechita.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now this is all talking about, says the Meir, says Rabbi Yochanan. He's only talking about a tzmimim. Tzmimim means birds that are gans and are not bali mumen. Right. And therefore, for instance, if you're talking about toidim ben yoina, there will be roi. There will be 1 second slowly. There will be roi to be brought for a carbon. Av bali mumen. Bali mumen means emechusar evra, like you're saying. Right. Where it's a big, big mum. Since they're not roi to be brought on the mizbeach at all, or not roi to be brought as karbonos. Says Rabbi Yochanan, dear Rabbi Meir was not mitaher. So even though he holds in our Mishnah, Malika is mitaher by a treifa, only by a treifa which is otherwise a tam. But if it's all a mechusar eber, then no, he is not mitaher. Now before you get too upset about it,
I'm not upset about it.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're going to see Rabbi Lozer Amar afilu bebali mum, and the same thing applies even to bal mum, that once you are shechted.
We're talking
about both Malika and Shechita. Okay. So I told you at the outset, Rameh doesn't distinguish between the two. Okay. So whether it's Malika or Shechita, even if it turns out to be Balmum, it doesn't bother me. It's still Mitayr Midei Nevela. Meaning that if he were to eat it, he does not become Tomei Bebeis Abliya. Now this was Rabbi Lozer. Now Rabbi Lozer is going to go one step further. It manami umra bibi umra Rabbi Lozer. Mitayr Rameh bebalimumin. Even if somebody brought into the base of Midish an avos is either a duck or a goose, and tarnigoylem are chickens, even there, if you were to go and bring it into the base of Midish, and he does a malika on an avos in a tarnigoylem, if you thought that it was difficult to go and do a malika on this little dove, this is a malacha kosher b'Midish. What's the din? Reb Meir holds that it is tohoir, midei nevela, in terms of it's not mitame lebei sabli,
but it's not geshachten. No. It's usher b'achilas still, because malika is not shayach by a avos or a tarnagol.
Exactly, all of that you're correct.
We argued on Rabbi Yochanan.
He argued not clearly.
He's a student. Rabbi Lozer Pedas. This is Rabbi Lozer Yamira.
Yeah, 100%. Because Rabbi Yochanan says it's only b'tamim and not b'balim mumen. Rabbi Lozer says filu b'balim mumen. And now this second Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yamira, Rabbi Lozer says not b'balim mumen, even if it's totally out of the parasha
of korbanos.
Of korbanos, because you can't bring an avos tarnagol as a carb. Is boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Now we have a Rabbi Yirmiya shaila. Oraf eiz mahu. What means oraf eiz? As you all know, if Chas v'Shalom, you find chol ba'adama, you have to go and bring what's called an egla rufa. Now, what is an egla? Egla is a young calf. Just like Chas v'Shalom, the egel. In fact, egla rufa is a shtickle, mechaper, metar for the egel. We're talking about a young calf. Calf, of course, is from the cow family.
Right.
Holy cow. But that's Taka if you're talking about an egla. What happens to if you are oyreif an egla? What happens to it? Avadi, you're not allowed to go and eat from it, and it's also osur, not only bachila, it's also osur banah. The question is, what's the status of the, is it metame or not metame? Or if eizmal. Avoz metane goyim tamamai, why did Reb Meir, according to Rabbi Reb Lazar, hold that not only do I say that the shechita or the malika is metaher, midei nevela, that it's not metame, the beis ablia, why did he include even Avoz metane goyim? I mean, it's oifis, even though it's taken that term in Yoina, but it's still from the same mishpucha of oifis.
So he said,
it's foul. Oh. Avil Eizlam, meaning the eglin, and it's totally different. This is a goat and this is a cow. I don't mean the behemoth. It's part of the min of the behemoth.
It's a superset of behemoths that are covered in the Mizbeach.
Exactly. So maybe, therefore, it has the same din, like an eglin.
Same permission, right?
That what? That it's not mitame. Yosef Ravdimi Bekamul of Hashmaitza. So we heard this Shaila Ravdimi. Ravdimi is now repeating it.
You know what eglin roof is not mitame?
That's the next year Gemara. Thank you, Brother Shai, for the segue. Yosef Ravdimi Bekamul of Hashmaitza Amul Yabai. Are you telling me the Egla Rufa in fact is Tahir? I know that an Egla Rufa, once you've done the Rufa, it's Egla.
It's also
not only Bachila for Shteitza. How do we know it's also by no?
Sham Miriam.
Can I know? Give him a cup. So, Machal the Egla Rufa Tahir. Egla Rufa, however, is Tahir. Is that true? And yes, it's true. Why? Why do you say that it's Tahir? Amidu Reb Yamai, because Kaporek Zivaki Kudushin. Wouldn't say in the pasuk happily amti shalosh shabbatisa, etc., etc. So that logic, just like kodshim by definition are tohar, unless of course it becomes tameh
explicitly,
some sort of external force. But otherwise, internally, it's tar. Same thing, egla sarufa, which affects kapara, is also tar. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmi was asking was besides the arifa so egla, would the same thing apply to an arifa so eiz? Would we say also that although it's dead and avada,
It's a nevela.
But nevertheless, maybe it remains tar because it's part of the family of behemoths, just like we see avos mitar to go to the same animal, same family as tarim and ayoyner.
It's too remote because Agarufa is kachia berakabayis and it's done on the chutz.
That's a different story. Our Gemara is not going into that. All the Gemara is saying is that was a shad of Rabbi Yemiya, that according to Rabbi Amr Belozer, according to Rameir, that he's holding that even avos mitar and goylan, if you went and shechted them or you moilik them, nevertheless, since it's part of the Oifis family, it's not mitame bebeis habliya. That's how far-reaching Rav Meir's chiddush is. Would we apply the same thing to the din of an eglas who harifas who eis? Harifas egla, we said it's tahira because of kape. Mm-hmm. Would you say the same thing like abian eis? It's also in the same family of behemoth, but it's not in the same family as a cow. That was the shayla. So masan ram nosan avua d'rav huna bar nosan. That's some have that by no. For ochalei sechlu, it says in the pasuk that we keep on quoting of the kolnevela treifa ya nevela chelav nevela chelav treifa yosel chamlocha ochalei sechlu. Only ela chelav sheosel ba'achila umutter ba'hanah. That's talking about your normal chelav,
kosher animal
from a kosher animal, which is osel ba'achila, but it's mutter ba'hanah. No problem. You're allowed to, like we had. That's what the pasuk tells you. Chelav nevela yosel chamlocha. You're allowed to have ba'hanah, and therefore it's also tohar. What about chelav v'shor niskov egla rufa minayin? What's the din regarding the chelav v'shor niskov egla rufa? Is that also mutter bahano?
No, it's not mutter bahano.
Well, don't be so quick.
Is it tahar or not?
Chelav v'shor niskov egla rufa.
The chelav? I thought it's entirely usri.
Why?
So let's see the gemara. Minayin, how do we know that that too is mutter bahano? Tamaloymer, kol chelav. Now where does it say kol chelav? So you have over here, Daba b'nei Yisrael deimar kol chilev shor v'chesav v'eiz leisachet. Do you have that pasuk?
Number two, you have Eikra Zayin.
Yeah, Eikra Zayin, Daba b'nei Yisrael deimar kol chilev shor v'chesav v'eiz leisachet. This pasuk doesn't deal with choyre with Yisrael and Ofer, it says leisachet.
So therefore it's interpreted now.
Rashi seems to be bringing another pasuk. If you look at the pasuk, Tama leimar kol chilev.
The Samach Lei.
Yeah, that's about 6 or 7 lines higher than where we are in the Gemara.
Right.
About halfway down the Rashi. Tama leimar kol chilev, the Samach Lei. Ki kol oichel chaylev. Ah, that's where the kol comes from. Ki kol oichel chaylev. This all kadaita says Rashi Eglarufa tahira itzrich kro letar chelba v'chihi tahira v'chelba tomei. If you're going to go and tell me that the egla roof itself happens to be tahor, the egla, the chayiv. I'm sorry, the basar of the egla roof is tahor. Why? Because it says kape. So if the basar is tahor, then about the chayiv is going to be tahor. It's a freak dimar. Going back to dimar now. If you're going to tell me that the basar of the egla rufa is tahor, he tahora the chayiv tamei. Do I need a pasuk to go and tell you that the chayiv is tamei? Avad, it's going to be tahor. If the basar is tahor, then the chayiv is going to be tahor. Hey, zukti mara. So, bazoi, what's the whole shaila regarding the egla rufa? If the egla rufa was killed through the arifa procedure, right, and you're telling me that it's tahora, shouldn't the chayiv certainly be mutter and tahor? Everything. I don't mean mutter bachila, mutter bano, and it's that it should be. It's not mutter bano because it's
also bano is
because it's egla rufa. But right. Well, it should be tahor. So tomorrow, heicha the arif merif leitzrichalek. You're absolutely right. If in fact they did an arifa se egla, just like we're going to go and say that the bossa is tahor, the chayiv is also tahor. So what is this kol chayiv come to tell you? Kitzrichalek the shachta mishchet. What happens if you shechted instead of doing arifa se egla? You shechted the egla arufa.
So you just did a shechita. It's not an egla arufa.
Oh,
you did a shechita.
Well, second, you're not finished. We're not finished. Kitzrichalek the shachta mishchet. That what? That the halacha is if you went and shechted an egla arufa. I know you're saying to yourself, isn't that
meaningless?
Not only meaningless, also it's a stira minei ovei. How can you say that you both shechted and be an arifa?
Right.
It's like saying you shechted and nevela. It's right. One or the other. It can't be both.
Right.
So Gemara is going to ask that momentarily. But in the meantime, kitzrichalek b'shachta mishkat, that you went and shechted it. In such a case, when you shechted it, then I might have thought that the chaylev is tamei. I need a posse to tell you that the chaylev is tahor. Beitimara, the tihani le'shchita l'tami de nevela. Why are you telling me that you're concerned about whether the chaylev is tahor or not? Why don't you talk about the etzim animal itself? So if you shechted it, it's not an egla sarufa, it's now an egla that was geshachted. So the whole thing should be charged.
You have a barbecue there.
Exactly. But one of the tzricha, shemesa. We're not talking about that it was an arifa. We're not talking about that it was a shechita. We're talking about the egla rufa
died.
Gepeget. Meaning that the Egla got the sense, I know what's going to happen to me. I know what happened to my chaver a few weeks ago when there was another chol
ba'adama.
He preempted.
He
got a cardiac arrest and it died. And therefore, what does it come to tell you? That in that case, the chaylev of this animal,
this nevela,
is a designated egla rufa.
So exactly. For that, I needed a posse to go and tell you that it's tahor. Just like all other chaylev nevela, chaylev treifa is tahor. I need a call chaylev to tell you that this is also tar. So why don't you go and say that the animal is tar? Because the animal is not tar.
It's the animal
right.
The
bus is the vela. If you're talking about the chaylev of the egla rufa and you're saying that it's tar, you're telling me that mechayim, it's awesome. What do you mean? That it's already an egla arufa even though it died. How can it be both an egla rufa and died at the same time? You know, we talk about a regular death. We don't mean through the arifa procedure.
It's through natural expired naturally.
Rabbiyanai gvul shemati v'shochachti, meaning that an egla rufa is already osur mechayim. It already gets the stempel, the name of egla rufa, when it's still alive. When there was a gvul, there was some sort of borderline where up to there it was still a regular egla, and after that line, boom. It's now became an egla rufa, even though it's still alive. V'shachachti, and I forgot what that line is. The nazar chavrei lemeim, and my chaverim reminded me. Yiridas l'nachal eisen, he ois rasa. When it starts creeping down in the nachal eisen, before it turns over and gets nebuch into numerous different bones and pieces, that yirid itself, that causes it to become an egla rufa. So therefore it's taka osr mechayim. Ah, since it's osr mechayim, now if I have the chaylev of a declared egla rufa, not the egla rufa was geshachtim, not the egla rufa died, the egla rufa is still alive, but it's in the process of getting its death because it's already yirida l'nachal eisan. So that type of chaylev, I might have thought that just like eventually this whole thing is going to be dead, not a dead dog, but a dead egla. And what's the status going to be? We're going to say about a dead egla that although it's osur b'achil and osur b'anah, but because of kaparik sidbarki kardashim, that what that it's
tar.
So what's the din?
The chaylev is tar. The chelav is
stored. One second. So what's the din legabi the chelav? So the Gemara said, Madach the eglaruf itself is going to be tahar because kaparit is bagodshim. What do I need a pasuk called chelav to tell you that the chelav is tahar? Of course the chelav is going to go and be tahar. If a behem is going to be tahar, the eglaruf itself is going to be tahar, and the ravada the chelav is going to be tahar. So the Gemara, no, we're talking about a case where the eglarufa didn't die, it's still alive. Exactly. But it was already declared an eglarufa. And therefore, the basar at this time, although it's already osar alts eglarufa dikadin, it's not osar alts nevela because it didn't die yet. So what's the status of the chelav? He can't go and say, well, madach, the rest of the animal is mutter, not mutter, the rest of the animal is tahar, then the chelav is also tahar. Why can't you go and say that? Because it's talking about a fact that the animal died, mesa, not eglarufa, it was mesa, so the rest of the animal is taka osur, and it's metame, like any nevela, so kadaita chamina that the chelav would also be metame, kamashal and kol chelav, to go and tell you that that chelav of that nevela is not metame after all. But we're still left with the shaila that Reb Yirmi asked, that's all fine and dandy if you're talking about an eglar. What's the status of an A? Do you say there too that it is tohar, just like the eglarufa start? Or do you go and say that that A is tameh, because it's not in the mishpucha of cows? So tomorrow, the boyedly ifshito, we're going to have to wait for Leon Novi to go and answer.
The A's are so remote, you never have an arifas A's. Come on.
When was the last time you had a shechita of a chicken inside the
basement? Exactly, that's also
remote.
Malika, where's Malika? But I had